Okay, now you're up.
Now we are recording. You ready?
Yep.
As a central feature to the Communist Manifesto, Marx talks a great deal about the role of capital, specifically private property. And for him, as he mentioned, capital is a collective product, only to be unified by the action of members. In other words, capital itself is not a personal, but it's more of a social power. So when capital itself is converted into common property, as he says, property of all members of society, personal property is therefore transformed into social property. Again, this is why it's essential to the communist doctrine that private property and the accumulation of private property be eliminated. This is directly linked to his concept of eradicating a bourgeois control of the means of production. This is related to another concept that may be arguably one of the most important, and that deals with wage labor. For Marx, wage labor creates any kind of property for the laborer? No, he says, not at all. It creates capital. And as long as we're creating capital, it's those that own private property, those that own the means of production, that'll benefit. So the myth that somehow a worker, a laborer, the proletariat as he calls them, would ever be able to accumulate enough capital, enough property, to become a part of that bourgeois society, Marx says, is a great myth. We give it a little break there.
Yeah, okay. In fact, that doesn't he say something about subsistence wage? Basically, you are reduced to, the workers are reduced to living on a subsistence wage. The factory owners are going to pay them enough to survive, and they're not going to be, as you said, be able to be sustaining. But the fact that the factory owner is making a profit off of their labor, he believes that in itself is unjust and exploitation, because they're not getting the full value for what they produce.
Right.
So they produce whatever they're producing, say textiles in a factory, as was common in England at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. The person who owns the factory or the company that owns the factory gets the full value of what's produced in terms of profit. The worker only gets a wage, and as a result, he hasn't been justly compensated for his work.
Right, and this is one of the things that distinguishes, say, Adam Smith, David Ricardo from Marx, in that for them, the glorification of profit, the accumulation of private property as a way to build more means of production is an objective. For Marx, it's a symptom of an entire system that has failed, that has built its reservoirs on the backs of the exploited proletariat. One of the statements that I particularly enjoy from the middle part of Communist Manifesto says, the whole objection is but another expression of the tautology, and that is, there can no longer be any wage labor when there is no longer any capital. Some of the major sort of central points of the, let me go back. Some of the central points to the Communist Manifesto, almost sort of a checklist, if you will, of whether you're in Germany, Poland, France, England. He sort of has a list that begins, and that is, first off, obviously, the abolition of private property in the land, the application of rents to all public purposes, followed with a heavy progressive or graduated income tax, the abolition of the right of inheritance. Again, for Marx, this accumulation into specific families, instead of being redistributed to those who actually are doing the work, the exploited proletariat is part of an overall systematic problem. The confiscation of the property of immigrants and rebels, centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and exclusive monopoly. Again, place yourself into the period of time following, say, the Corn Laws of England in the 1820s, the Manchester School of Thought that was advocating a free and unfettered trade. This looked like to be something that was going to expand opportunity. For Marx, he had just the very opposite position on this. What it was going to enable additional exploitation at the hands of the bourgeois over the proletariat. Let me throw in the last thing, because I guess we got to end on something like this. One of the interesting things, too, about the Communist Manifesto is that how much it can be applied to various situations. I mean, Marx was very much mindful of the fact that this could be a blueprint, if you will, to other social and political orders. And one of the things he does, and part of the reason that political scientists and international theorists have enjoyed Marx, Marx offers one of the first critiques on an international level. He talks about an international system being in place. That's very different than focusing on certain national problems within boundaries. And so when he calls for, as he does at the end, "Let the ruling classes tremble at a communist revolution. The proletarians have nothing to lose but their chains. They have a world to win." This was, in fact, a communist manifesto for the entire world.